Previously, let's see what happened. Olivia met Cop Dean and lost her heart again.
I'm an easy woman.
Yeah, we know. you went to the library and met Kelly, the librarian, or the who is apparently from Liberia, according to the note that Anthony sent me. That's all I know that happened. You were surprised that the Knoxville County Library has a secret occult room that she lets you into. So just to make things easy, as long as you stay on Kelly's good side, you will, which could be pretty easy for both Ben and Jake. I still haven't made a cheat sheet of all y'all's names. Then you are all on any research roles. You may assume that you have a library rating of 1 if you're using that resource, that room. So, what time was it when we left off? It was getting close to time for the meeting, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, I think we were just like about to head out.
Okay. And let's see. Last session started with a harrowing nightmare for Ben. Followed later that evening by a second nightmare in which your spider dad talked to you.
Spider dad.
Does whatever spider dad. Spider dad does. And wolf dad is probably jealous.
I mean, I'm fine.
But dead dad loves you no matter what.
It's true.
Dad, what are you jealous of?
I'm not jealous of anything.
All right, let's go to this meeting.
Yeah, by the way, Ben, roll a wits plus empathy.
Wits plus empathy. You know, I specifically took empathy because I listened to y'all's last campaign and I was just like, wow. Somebody's gotta.
Technically,
I have empathy. Charlie has 2 dots in empathy.
You have more dots than Olivia does then. Olivia has 1 dot in empathy.
He just...
Yeah, Bo, basically the last game was It's Always Sunny in Knoxville.
You're not wrong.
Well, that would suck.
Well, for you.
Yeah.
I'm reading about P while we play, in case anybody was curious.
I wasn't, but thank you.
Whatever you're into.
Now I have so many questions.
I am studying for your analysis.
You really are looking for new stuff to put in your curry, aren't you?
Hey, you know, the first thing we learned on the very first chapter, on the very first page, was that back in the day, to test if you were diabetic, people drank pee to know if it was sweet, to know if you were dumping glucose into your urine. Well, it's supposed to be. Urine is sterile. When it passes out of you, it is not sterile.
Yeah.
I can aspirate some urine out of your bladder if you'd like. I can't.
You can what-parate?
That is it. That is out of my level of authority, actually. Aspirate. Big old needle. I don't remember what it's called. I should. I've taken a test on it already.
It's a subdural
test needle. Every Tuesday and every Friday. It's subpubic or something like that.
Oh my God, let's start this game.
Okay. I'm waiting on you. I was filling the silence.
So you're running a Pavlovian experiment to see how long it takes me to start the game. By just horrifying me until I do. All right. You guys, what?
Yay.
All right, you step away from him.
You let up into a vehicle. I don't care which one. I don't even care who's driving. And you drive into town. The Midnight Council is meeting at a private room on the top floor of we'll say it's there is a famous hotel in Knoxville that's just off the Knoxville Square, but I cannot remember the name of it. We'll call it the Biltmore until I remember. But it's a historic hotel. And at the top floor, it's a 15-story hotel, has a panoramic view of the Knoxville Square, which is basically, it's about twice the size of the square in Oxford. And it's not a true square. It's the region they call the square is directly the size of Beale Street, actually. So yeah, let us pretend. Yeah, let us pretend that it is effectively Bill Street, but the names of all the places are changed, but it is more country instead of blues. I don't know why I forgot it's this. Just, it's the Oliver Hotel.
It's just Broadway in Nashville.
Yeah, it's the Oliver Hotel, which is 150 years old, and top floor has a panoramic view of greater downtown Knoxville with the square area below. Lots of upscale country and western bars and John Currency type restaurants. It's early spring, so there's starting to be pretty decent nightlife. You have to park in a public parking lot somewhere away. Actually, no, because you know Jake is a pretty high-ranking minion of the vampire regent. Did I say minion? I meant associate. So you have a reserved parking space near the Oliver for meetings like this. As you head in, you recognize a couple of the Josh's blood servants who come towards you to check your identity, but they know you immediately, and they actually practically snap to salute when Charlie goes by. Charlie, what are you wearing?
Me? I am wearing I have changed out of the Wild West clothes into something that is more street clothes appropriate, but nothing, not like a uniform or anything like that.
Okay.
You wear suits.
Yeah, you are, not you, obviously, but the guy you brutally murdered, or after he had already been brutally murdered, he had, you know, a whole lot of very expensive suits that he wore, and also less expensive suits that he probably wore on the job so that it would not be obvious how much he was being pimped out by a vampire. But yeah, he was apparently a very snappy dresser.
All right, good to know. Good to know.
But you are dressed down this evening. Oh, by the way, how long has it been since you had a haircut, since you're like in the Old West?
I mean, Charlie has definitely let his hair go.
Well, okay, in that case, they don't immediately snap to salute until or to attention until you get right up on them. They look a bit surprised. Good evening, Lieutenant. You're letting a beard grow out?
It's a new style. It's a choice.
Hey, whatever works for you. And you'll be getting some sun, too, I see.
Yeah, you know, I decided to hit the beach. Just get out and about. You know, nothing too fancy.
He nods respectfully to you and to Jake and says, I think everyone's already upstairs. The meeting hasn't officially started yet. And then he leans in conspiratorially towards you, Jake, and says, the bitch is here tonight.
Oh, really? A special night indeed.
Mm-hmm. And you know what else? I haven't seen him here yet, but I think Delacroix is coming. He never comes to these.
Oh, fuck me. No, he doesn't.
He'll probably try to.
I know.
Or the bitch will. Or maybe they'll... Geez, you think they ever get together?
That's a terrifying thought.
No, I think... No, Domino would probably kill her. Mm. Domino, by the way, being Delacroix's wife.
Yeah.
And some say the scarier of the two. There's a running debate amongst all the people who work for Josh as to who is scarier between Lucien Delacroix and Domino Delacroix. He is a Draconis, she is an Ishtari, and together they run basically an eyes wide shut cult that draws from some of the wealthiest families in town.
Good to know.
Hey, Alan, a quick question for you. Stan, basically, Knoxville and Nashville pretty much switched places. Does that mean the University of Tennessee and Vanderbilt also switched places, or are they the same exact size?
They are both in Knoxville. Knoxville became a railroad hub instead of Nashville, so Cornelius Vanderbilt moved here instead of Nashville and left his money to start a university here.
Okay, then.
That's a big part of why the city is still so big, even after the railroads stopped being a thing, because UT Knoxville and Vanderbilt are both here. And so that's like two of the top universities in the South in the same city.
And Vanderbilt's won the last five football championships.
Well, they're not that good. They're But people do talk of the UT Vandy rivalry the same way they do the Bama Auburn rivalry. I will leave it to your imagination to decide who is Bama and who is Auburn in that scenario.
All right. Just wanted a quick clarification of on, you know, if I see if people are wearing like the ugly orange, or, you know, if they're wearing the gold and black or something like that around town a lot.
You see both. If you ask Jacob out, you will know there's a strong rivalry between the two. And since they're both in the same town, like the cops spend a lot of time breaking up bar fights between frat boys from the rival universities. In terms of mood, it's basically, imagine if Ole Miss and State were in the same town, but both of them had like student bodies of 50,000.
Fair enough. Okay. I have my N now with the locals.
Oh, I look forward to seeing how it works. All right. Other fun fact, the Oliver Hotel in the real world is in fact owned by the same people that own the Graduate.
Hot damn.
So imagine if the Graduate was a 10-story building. That's the kind of
I think they own the Chancellor's House now too.
I'm sorry, I misspoke. It is the Chancellor's House that they own, not the Graduate. That sort of snotty opulence.
No, I mean, I think they own both. So,
oh, do they own both?
I think so. I think it's the same company. I could be wrong. Doesn't matter. Anyway, I've been making all the paint for them, so I'm confused.
Okay, that took me a while to process that sentence. But yes, I do recall they are renovating the Oliver, which is why I could get a fucking room for my going away party and had to get a bed and breakfast from this Karen. All right. So you go up to the top floor, and there are security all over the place, most of which Jake recognizes by reputation only. Most of them are blood servants, either of Josh or of one of his lieutenants, because Josh isn't quite old enough to, you know, blood bond 20 or 30 people, but he has a network. But he has a lot of people who he keeps addicted to his blood, even if they don't become full-on blood slaves. And get the cool powers that Charlie has or had.
Yes.
And
he's right here.
Okay. I'm the storyteller. You don't have to persuade me of anything. Oh, I'm sorry. I got sidetracked. So, Ben, what did you get on that empathy roll?
I got 2 successes.
That is easily enough for you to notice that Jake keeps referring to other Charlie as dad and even talking with him like he would talk to your Charlie. And he's just been acting really weird.
Good, 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 good.
Great.
And again, so yeah, you are shown in one of the, he's not one of the higher ranking minions, but you think he will be. Let's see, what is this guy's name? His name is Henry, and he is a lupine, loyal to, who is blood bound to Josh, and he, that makes him a blood servant, but also allows him to control his lycanthropy. And he's fairly young. He's only about 20. And Jake, were the ones who, back before you broke free and became a red coat, you recruited him. You can't see me making the air quotes, but you can imagine them, to work for Josh. Oh, hey, Jake.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing all right. So what's going on? It's like this is another regular meeting, isn't it? Is there some shit going on?
Yeah, like some weird alternate universe like slider shit, like people coming from an alternate universe. Like dad's got some, I don't know, apparently I've got a brother and a sister from another universe or something, and then a not serial killer uncle. It's weird. And also there's hyena werewolves in the woods, so yeah.
It looks like you have gone completely insane. So how much of that was you bullshitting me?
How much is that? Oh, I wish it was all bullshitting. I wish I was high right now. It's all legit.
So is that why your dad has a beard now?
Yep.
Because he didn't like 3 days ago when I saw him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Time travel shit. It's all fucking weird, man.
Okay. Well, when things calm down, maybe we should go out and get high together.
Yeah. I'll buy.
Okay. Well, have fun in there with all the big boys.
Wish me luck.
And he shudders a little bit because, like, Henry is probably the newest
member of the Rough Riders, and he's been a lycanthrope for less than a year and a lupine for probably about 4 months. So other than his creepy infatuation with Josh, he's the newest and most naive and still kind of shell-shocked by magic is real, guys.
All right.
Yeah, so you head in. It's fairly informal because Josh runs an informal midnight council, which is, you suspect, the reason Lucius and the bitch never show up, because A, they're not made to, and B, if Lucius was running things like he probably wants to, then there would be like masquerade balls and things, and you would probably all have to wear formal attire. But anyway, there is a long table set up, and then a couple of smaller tables in front of it for people who are here to be interviewed. Josh is wearing a t-shirt and jeans and a leather jacket over it, and Gabe, who is a werewolf, no, I'm sorry, Gabe is a vampire and is his eldest child and number one assistant, is sitting next to him on one side, and on the other is Vince, who is the oldest redcoat in town. Brother Ray is sitting on one side of Vince. Lucius looks exactly like the Merovingian, with all that entails.
Nice.
And he is sitting on the other side of Brother Ray, looking bored by the proceedings. The bitch is sitting at the end of the table. This is the first time most any of you have gotten to see her, except for Jake, because, Ben, you have you met any of the werewolves other than your brother?
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
You would have heard me talk about her, though.
All right. Imagine Gwendolyn Christie, if she were playing something of a cross between a female biker and a dominatrix.
I'm for it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I ship it.
Yeah, the bitch is, no one knows her real name. She calls herself that. And she is, and Jake, you do in fact know from what Josh has told you, is that she is in fact in her civilian identity, or in one of her identities, because, you know, it's for older supernaturals, it's common to have multiple masks that you wear when you're dealing with the normies. But in one of her identities, she is in fact a professional dominatrix. And she is also, her tribe is the Hounds of Metropolis. So she is much more cityfied than Josh's group, because the red caps all sort of reflect Josh's personality, which is to say they're all in a biker gang. And it's all about biker brotherhood, blah, 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 Sons of Anarchy type shit. But she's much more urban than that.
Is she actually Gwendolyn Christie's size?
She's very tall.
Okay. Damn.
All right.
But she's younger than Gwendolyn Christie. She's not as British. Who's a good actress to play a dominatrix?
Gwendolyn Christie.
Yeah, I mean, Gwendolyn Christie.
Nailed it.
Since she's as tall as Gwendolyn Christie and a vampire, I'm just now picturing Lady Dimitrescu.
Werewolf.
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 Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jake, you have been told that she does not have a man-wolf form like Charlie. Well, like other Charlie does, but she can assume a dire wolf form.
Hmm. Like me.
Yeah. Oh, can you do that too?
Mm-hmm.
I can remember. Okay, it sounds like you're just making grunting sounds. I can't understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. I was.
Anyway, so she's here wearing a sort of black, like, corsety thing, and something like Trinity would wear.
How old is Ben?
You're about to start your senior year of high school. Yeah, you're not. Yeah. You're in your spring year of your junior spring year.
All right. Yeah, he is visibly sweating.
Oh, and Nick is sitting at the table too, looking a little bit out of place. The official leader of the of your lodge is that other guy who looks like Ray Walson. Jefferson Kane, but apparently he is on tour at the moment. There's like some big magician's convention, and he's gone for a couple of days. So Dr. Nick is, he's not the second ranking person in the lodge. And in fact, he's old enough to have responsibility in the lodge, but young enough to where the older people can delegate grunt work to him. And in any case, he's the medical professional he's the most prominent medical professional who is also a supernatural being and not Dr. Nemechek, because no one wants to deal with him. Mm-mm. And so he's the person who can talk about what's going on. And in fact, as you come in, Josh gestures for you all to take a seat while Dr. Nick is giving a report on what's happened over the past, geez, has it just been 24 hours or has it been longer than that?
Like 36 hours, yeah.
In the past 36 hours, there has been indication that there is, first of all, he explains what he knows about Kaftar, which is basically what Jake has previously told him and what he's been able to get from his own research, that there are apparently tribes of habitually evil and psychotic werewolves, one of which is actually a tribe of were-hyenas. They start off as werewolves, but instead of becoming wolfen, they go insane and become hyena people. And among other things, they are vectors for magical diseases called chaos diseases. And this one has demonstrated two such diseases, Sardonicus fatalis, which causes people to eventually laugh themselves to death. But before they reach that, if they survive long enough to reach that point, they will first, you know, eventually have a psychotic break and go on a killing spree. And he cautions you that people who show signs of it need to be treated as fast as possible or else shut down. Because if you reach the, apparently, Jake, if you had lasted another 4 or 5 days before getting treatment, your laughter would have become contagious.
Hmm. Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah, on the bright side, if you reach the psychotic stage, you don't laugh as uncontrollably, and you can control it in social situations until you want to start laughing at people and infect them.
Can I raise my hand to ask a question?
Yeah, Jake, what?
You say it's like rabies, kind of, but can we get a vaccine? Or some shit?
Well, the some shit in this case would be a magical version of a vaccine. And I says Nick, I don't know how to make that. I'm still researching. I know how to cleanse people who have it, which I can only do because I'm a master level biokinetic. And except for your adopted brother, I'm the only biokinetic in town. You do have biokinesis, don't you, Ben?
I do not, but I assume I probably picked up a couple of little tricks here and there.
I do.
Okay, then he does not know about you yet, but he'll be very excited if you tell him that you do have biokinesis, because he will maybe you don't know that you can cure a chaos disease, because that seems like something above your current skill level, but he will be very eager to talk with you about it. The other matter is apparently this same Kaftar is also capable of transmitting a second disease, and he is inferring this from what you told him about spiders. There is a cast disease called Aslu fever.
Our research showed the same thing.
Yeah. I'm still trying to figure out what the hell an Aslu is. Broadly speaking,
it's a were-spider.
Were-spider. And from what, they're a little bit different than, basically, here's the deal. From what you know, and from the lore that you've read, and you're not sure how much of this you actually believe, because it gets into it's the mythos stuff. So you know that some indeterminate amount of time ago, when the physical world and the spirit world were closer together, Grandfather Wolf was an actual wolf god, and he realized that the way gods become more powerful is to get more people to believe in them and to worship them. And so that's why he created lycanthropy, so there would be literal wolf people running around doing his bidding and trying to make people, for good or ill, think more about wolves. And all the other spirit gods, when they figured this out after the fact, they kind of got very mad and wanted to make their own were creatures. But at that point, the chief god or spirit being was Gaia, and she created the gauntlets to protect the physical world from being preyed upon by spirits. And so most of them comply with that, but some of them found loopholes. And others, you know, just cut deals with the exile tribes. And one of those was the deal cut with the chief spider spirit, the mother of webs, came to an agreement with Hyena saying that his offspring or his tribe would be able to pass through a form of spider-themed therianthropy, or lycanthropy, but for spiders, in the form of Aslu fever. But the price of that is that anyone who becomes a were-spider is bound to obey the commands of a hyena for a specified period of time. And usually a year and a day for magical occult reasons. So you're able to fill them in on that side of it. And Nick says, from what we've learned about what happened up in the mountains with the Anawaya tribe, I'm hoping this only happened this way because they were actually at a locus, a location where the gauntlet is very weak. And so the effect happened much faster with infected people transitioning into were-spiders very, very, very quickly. And then he looks at Charlie and starts to say something, but then decides not to, and because he's going to let somebody else take the hit on that detail. But according to the literature I've read, what usually happens outside of a locus, like in just, you know, most of the world, someone who contracts Aslu fever, it will present as initially as just a bog standard version of the flu, fever, chills, that sort of thing. And then after a day or two of this, they will begin to develop the persistent psychosomatic belief that there are, or maybe not psychosomatic belief, but the persistent belief that there are, in fact, spiders crawling around under their skin. This is because there are spiders crawling around under their skin. And eventually, the internal magical spiders will infest the brain, and at that point, they transition into becoming a were-spider. What happens after that? I don't know. I barely understand what happens with werewolves. Jake, do you have anything to add?
I don't know. I mean, between the were-hyenas and the were-spiders, I really feel like with the werewolf population we have here in the city, we've got to figure out something to protect us because it's a single bite and we're all at risk if that's the case.
Roll your intelligence plus occult.
My intelligence plus occult, right?
And you may add any specialties or benefits.
So does it have anything to do with werewolves or vampires?
Werewolves.
Okay.
Can I roll that? Can Charlie roll that?
Al?
Yeah, I'm here. But I'm not on the right page. What did you get?
9. I got 2 successes off of 9 dice, but Stick wants to know if he can roll it as well.
Okay, sure. And by the way, I'm listening to you guys, but I've got to eat something because I just realized I haven't had dinner and my blood sugar is crashing. But I'll keep the phone going while we talk. Just tell me how many successes you get.
I got 1. 2. Stick got 1. Fire powers combined. Okay.
Between what you researched and what Nick has just told you, you believe that the infection rate happened as quickly as it did, both for the were-spider, well, for all the were-spiders, simply because they were attacked at the locus where they perform all their rituals and their ceremonies and things. You think that the progression of the disease and the transformation will be slower inside this, like here in Knoxville, as opposed to in the vicinity of a locus. Although you do know that there are loci in the city. The bitch would know where most of them are since she has claimed the position of guardian of the city's spiritual community.
Well, based off of knowing that it's going to act faster at loci, I'll look at the bitch and, madam, I lean towards your knowledge. It seems that may be somewhere they're going to focus in the cities if they're coming after us.
She crooks an eyebrow on being called madam, but she says, I will consult with the spirits of the city, and if it is necessary, I will, after I've talked with the spirits of the city, if we deem it necessary, I will advise you of any specific locations that need to be guarded.
Thank you.
And she gives you a stern look, but
There's that. Make sure I have your contact information if I need to reach out to you and to the regent through you.
As you wish.
Is she just like just kind of being an aloof asshole to everyone else here that's on the council?
That's the feeling you get.
I like her.
I knew it.
So, as for the other topic, Josh, do you want to introduce my extended family?
Yeah, I suppose we should at this point. Members of the council, the newcomers that are here with Josh are, if their stories to be believed, visitors from a parallel universe. The guy with the beard is not, in fact, the Charlie Connor who has been working for me.
I mean, I am a Charlie Connor.
Yeah, that's, he didn't say that you weren't a Charlie Connor, just not the one that was working for him. Kind of a...
I like to think I'm the better.
And don't get me wrong, you could end up working for me before this is all over. We, you know, come to a deal.
That's highly unlikely.
You guys all want to go to where the hell you came from.
Yeah, I kind of have. I think everyone here will agree when I say I kind of have a problem with authority.
A big problem.
Yeah.
Kind of has a problem with authority.
Hopefully that will be an issue. A somewhat bigger concern is the guy standing next to him has been quiet so far. Please introduce yourself, Mr. Jones.
Well, I'm Frank Jones. I'm not the one that murdered his wife and other people. But yeah.
You notice that when he says that, all of them look at you in surprise, and about half of them look over at Ben, I guess, to see what his reaction is.
Yeah.
So what is the mood that you're giving off right now,
Ben? Ben is visibly uncomfortable for a host of reasons. I mean, there's just so much confusion from dealing with knowing that Jake is certainly losing it, that he just lost another parent, and then an old parent who murdered a parent in front of him showed back up. I mean, Ben's not having a good time, but he's very much riding a fine line.
Is it going to be a problem? Let me rephrase that. This is Josh talking. Obviously, it's a problem for you to walk around Knoxville wearing the face of a very famous murderer. Do you got any thoughts on how we can deal with that, Mr. Jones?
I don't really know. I don't think plastic surgery is an option.
I think if you just remand him into my care as a respected member of law enforcement, everything will be fine.
But we're not going to do that. Sorry, Charlie, but I know you.
Come on, it'll be fun.
Josh looks very thoughtful, and with visible reluctance, he turns to his right and leans over to look towards the guy who looks like the Merovingian, the best-dressed guy in the room who looks like there's something under his nose that smells bad.
But
Mr. LaCroix, would you be willing to make a short-term modification to Mr. Jones's appearance just for the duration of his stay in town? I could be persuaded to do so. I should like to meet with Mr. Jones after this meeting. And of course, I'd have to discuss it with my darling wife. We generally do everything together of an artistic nature. But yes, I could definitely see room for improvement. And then he smiles at you, Frank.
Yikes.
I'll tip my hat at him a little nervously.
I'll lean over to
Frank. Do you have any vampire lore?
I have a special. Well, I don't know. Maybe.
I thought you got some from your time with Mr. Gray.
Well, I'm looking up now. What would it be under? Just under.
Probably an occult specialty.
I have an occult specialty in vampires. If I can.
I think I have.
I mean, you know this. I didn't know if Frank did. Qua is a Draconis vampire, and he specializes in a somewhat rare discipline called vicissitude, which is proprietary to their clan, and they normally don't teach it to people outside of Clan Draconis. It allows them to control their own appearance, but some of them have have trained themselves to be able to alter the appearance of other people. And he is somewhat notorious for
Let's just say that his blood slaves are the best looking blood slaves. And there are some people he doesn't even feed blood to anymore. He just keeps them good looking in exchange for their obedience.
He's all about community beautification.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, Frank's specialty, I think, is in socialized vampire. I doubt he would know about vicissitude. It's pretty rare.
You probably know about it. It's probably news to you that it's possible to use it on someone else, which is kind of frightening considering the implications of that.
Yeah.
So he invites you to, he'll actually having a private meeting for some of the members of his, he calls it an art showing at a gallery he owns, one of many he owns in East Knoxville, which is the money side of Knoxville.
Well, the sooner the better.
Okay. That's Josh. So we got a werehyena who can turn people into were spiders or give them a crazy laughing disease, or I guess turn them into other werewolves into werehyenas. How does that happen?
Well,
and Jake, you, now that you've had time to research it, you don't think he can just bite a werewolf and turn them into a werehyena. You think the process involves capturing a werewolf of some description, lycanthrope or whatever. The guy who you knew previously, who he turned, was in fact a lycanthrope. So with the death of George Bright, he would have reverted to being a lycanthrope. And so maybe the werehyena just basically forced lupine status on him and in the process made him a hyena. But generally from what you read, it happens when someone, when a hyena captures a werewolf and just drives them insane.
Well, that's nice.
And that's what I'll share with everyone here. Based off of my research, that's what I found out.
So, question for you then. Can they turn vampires, or is it just strictly or any other magical creature?
You don't know that. Because I don't think at any point have you got enough successes to know that detail.
I'm just going to stare concerned and dumbfounded.
Because if that's the case, then we only really need to protect other werewolves, right? Or at least, you know.
Or the mortal population of Knoxville, since any mortal is susceptible to both of those two diseases.
Ben stands up and he says, "This is not not to interrupt you guys. Love the energy. This is not about protection anymore. How do we kill this son of a bitch?"
Jake, you know, pretty much like you would any other werewolf.
That's easy. Issue, you just got to find him.
The biggest issue, have you told, here's a detail, have any of you told Josh about the apparent connection between this, first of all, have you told him this werewolf's name, because you've learned he calls himself Sabado?
No, we just learned that.
Okay. Which means, I guess, you have also not told him about the connection between Sabado and Oliver.
What?
Because
what? Or do y'all know that?
No, we haven't what? Said anything about that.
What's that?
I see no reason to say anything about that.
Yep, agreed.
Let me rephrase the question. Have you guys deduced that connection yet? Because I thought we'd learn that next time. But I'm hearing some surprise from Brooke.
To Oliver?
Well, yeah, because that was what Josh put together last time he was here, was that the werewolf outbreak in El Diablo was
Oliver's fault. Sorry. Yes. I was misunderstanding. Yes.
That probably looked like his grandfather or something. Or...
Yeah. Yeah. That was all discussed when Josh was visiting the house.
Okay.
Yes.
So Josh knows about all that.
Yeah. So the significance of that is that Sabado has been a werewolf since 1880.
Yeah. We just learned his name, though.
You're pretty. Who here speaks? Does anyone speak Spanish?
Charlie does.
Charlie, you're pretty sure Sabado is not his real name, since he just calls himself Mr. Saturday.
Okay, sure.
I mean, maybe that's his real name, but a hyena named Saturday just sounds whimsical enough to be made up.
It sounds like a band name. Sounds like a
dog name Friday.
Yeah, that dude.
All right, I will. I will inform the family of that particular issue after the fact. At least it seemed like we have a inappropriate amount of interest in this person.
So you're not sharing the Mr. Saturday bit?
No. Nope.
Okay. Well, if they don't know his name, I'll tell everybody his name. He calls himself Sabado.
A thick Spanish accent.
Wonder where that came from. I'm gonna subtly glare at Oliver. Just some side eye.
Olivia will subtly elbow Charlie.
What was it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm gonna start looking at Josh Brookwood, who, you know, because he was there, he was present during all that. And so I'm kind of gauging his reaction on when they say Sabado and a thick Spanish accent. What is?
Well, that probably wasn't his name back then.
No, but he's been around long enough.
Yeah.
He looks like he's about to say something, but then he glances around at the other members of the council and decides not to. You know that he has introduced you to the group as dimensional travelers, and that's why there's an alternate version of Charlie and an alternate version of Frank. He has not mentioned any suggestion that you guys are also time travelers, let alone that you played any direct role in him and his backstory.
And the potential story that is happening right now.
Yeah. Have you learned the sequence of events about how he became a vampire? Did we mention that? We did.
It's the first day, or the first time meeting him.
Yep.
Yeah. If I did not mention it, just to remind you, part of the reason he sort of took Charlie's and his family under his wing is that he vaguely remembered Charlie from before, but honestly thought that this universe's Charlie was like a descendant of that one. And it wasn't until Vampire Frank shows up that he said, wait a minute.
Something's fishy.
Well, wait a minute. Wouldn't he have recognized everybody then from 1880? I mean,
oh yeah, he recognizes everyone in your group from 1880 now that he sees them. He did not immediately pick up on the he did not immediately connect these two mortals, this world's Charlie and this world's Frank, to this being, but first of all, Frank, you were using a different name and probably looked somewhat different. And Charlie Connor, I think you were using your real name in El Diablo.
He may not even remember that.
Yeah, I was 100%. Charlie's not going to shy away.
Yeah, you never have before.
Exactly.
Yeah, Frank. Yeah, I think you went by the name of Frank Connor.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, he did. It seems weird that he would have gotten to know this world's Charlie so well, and never thought, wow, this guy looks really familiar. Unless he thought he too was a descendant of someone that he knew.
Josh had said that he thought he was like the great great grandson of the one that he had met previously.
Okay. All right. Well, it seems like our first priority is finding these whatever the hell they are and killing them. So, how do we do that?
That's an excellent question.
Finding them.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say finding them could be relatively easy if we just get some physical implements, or if we even knew, had any information, right? If we could just know anything about them, it'd be easy to find them magically.
I mean, we saw all, well, I saw all of them riding together. So if we, and we have one of their license, maybe we could use that as a tracking.
All of them?
Piece.
Ooh, we have the license. Yeah, we might be able to track them down by that. At least one of them.
Sis, did you say all of them?
Yeah. The guy who killed your Charlie, and the guy who betrayed all the Anawaya, and there was like 5 or 6 dudes in the back of a truck, possibly were hyenas, maybe spiders. Not really sure on that. They didn't tell me while I was peeking at them. Yeah, they were all riding together. Don't know where, but they were all together. So that's not a good sign.
So Scott Wilkins, Sabado, and all the people that were killed by Sabado are now all were-spiders in the back of a truck somewhere in the city?
Well, I don't know who was killed by him, but there were 6 people in a truck with him. That's the best I got for you, bro. I could try again. Maybe not in these conditions. I'm feeling a little pressured. There's a lot of spooky people in here.
Did you say you saw the license plate?
No, I have their license, their physical driver's license.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. If we have the physical driver's license of one of them, that means we've got, you know, at the very least, for any man to physically implement, that's two very powerful pieces of a spell.
Yep. Is there not camera systems in town? I do like facial recognition or something like that. You know, does that even happen over here?
I mean, facial recognition exists. I've kind of the Canarella Trust to suppress it as much as possible, since, you know, we don't want people to recognize our image from 50 years ago.
It was longer than 50 years ago. I think we're safe. Oh, you. Yes, not you. Sorry, I misheard. I misheard who was speaking. I thought it was. Well, I thought it was one of us. I couldn't hear well.
Also, I assume wouldn't hyenas and were spiders be subject to occlusion? And Jake and Ben and probably Frank all understand in general, and so most of you may be aware of this, all supernatural beings are protected by a thing called occlusion, which, among other things, makes video of them look hard to read. Way back when we started this game, that was the whole point of the Betamax tape thing, because Betamax is the only video format which can take video of supernatural events and people and retain it.
So Betamax is still useful.
So what's the best way to go about doing all this? Is it manhunt, using sources?
We need the council to approve us to go after him, because it's going to be bloody and it's going to be gross. And it could be very, very much seen by public eyes.
Well,
it's probably going to be worse if we don't.
It seems to me, although we are very happy to help, this technically isn't our universe's problem. And while we, of course, will help, it would be nice to do it under the assumption that if we help you, we will get some help in returning home based off of your vast knowledge of all being around here for a really long time, if that would be cool with y'all.
I take a step away from her.
I am certainly not averse to helping you people to leave, and thus reducing the number of walking weirdness magnets in the city of Knoxville. I had no idea that dimension travel was possible before you guys showed up. Does anybody else know anything about that? He looks back and forth at them, and no one responds. Either people don't respond or they shake their head no.
Great.
We will certainly do what we can to help you leave. But as far as
there is somebody from our universe that knows about it.
I don't know. I kind of like it here. Thinking about staying.
Says the bird. Oh,
Jake?
out of character.
There is a man who wrote a book by the name of John Rhys Davies who refers to himself as a universe slider. And he, we found his book, and apparently he wrote in detail and length about his time sliding from different places. And he's local. He's our universe.
Well,
you mean that guy from Shogun?
From the book that you read, I don't know if you got the impression that he was originally from this universe. He came to this universe and then he left this universe and he left a copy of his, apparently he stayed here for a while, long enough to write a set of his memoirs and give them to the library. But your impression was that he left, and also that he left via one of the mirrors, which, you know, it allows for travel, but he also indicated that it can only be used at specific times and
when the stars align. Yeah.
Anyone can use them when the stars are in the right position. Activating them otherwise requires some type of high-level magical ritual.
Yeah, we had to wait till the right night in New Mexico.
That's true.
No, that was in the other alternate Knoxville. Mm-hmm. We just kind of got sucked into the one in New Mexico.
It was there too, but we had to, in order to use the one there.
Oh, that's to get right. Home, that's right.
We had to wait.
That's right. We just didn't take that path. We didn't make it that far.
What was that guy's name again that offered us the
dude
deal?
You wanted to play cards?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What was it?
Does he exist in this universe? I assume he does.
All right, refresh my memory. Who are we talking about?
But we don't remember.
I mean, tell me what you do remember, and I'll see if I have notes.
He was in the big city part when we went with Frank to send that letter to get us back up, and he offered to play cards with what seemed suspiciously like the deck of many things. We did not take him up on it, but he was offering us a path home. We just had to do something for him.
Oh, okay. I remember that now. I don't remember his name either. Let's see if I have notes on that.
He was like Biff Tannen, pretty much, in that universe. So he wanted information on the future.
That's right. That's right. He wanted to wanted us to buy our passage with information.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Boy, that works out perfectly for this game.
Let me see if I can find that dude.
I just brought up like a super villain.
Is that dude the gambler who owns the casino here in town?
Oh no.
We might know where a portal is.
Yeah, give me a second. I'm getting that loaded. El Diablo notes. Did I not take any notes at all of that game? All right. I'm kind of jumping around I've been jumping around between two different laptops, so it may not be on this laptop I'm using now.
Oh, have you gotten to that part in the story? Do you know?
Oh, no, I have not gotten that far.
Okay, there's a map of El Diablo.
Yeah, I remember that.
Does the name Roy Noble sound familiar?
Not particularly.
Hold on, I have a notes section.
Who was that kid? Who was that young werewolf that we kept in the jail for a while, and we set him free and run off to Mexico or something.
Sabado.
Oh no. Oh no. Come on now.
We helped him.
All right, hold on. Okay, it's not Chang. I just Does think Chang remember even exist?
Oh yeah, Chang, there was Chang.
Chang was a dragon.
Yeah.
Hint, wink, wink.
I'm not saying he doesn't exist. I'm just saying he has not yet made an appearance in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Dragons don't die that easily.
He did say this from a TPK, so.
We really ought to go back to New Mexico. Well, anyway, there was that guy. So.
The kid's name was Pedro.
Pedro, that's it. Sure enough.
But he was not turned by any of you. He was turned by the Tully Gang.
Tully Gang, yeah.
And we meet, is Seamus still alive here?
Pretty sure he's not, because that was one of my old characters, and I don't recall him ever becoming an immortal. I want to say he was very old by the, he was probably still around, he was probably still around in the 1920s New York, but I don't think you would have ever met him in when you went into that pulp era, and that was just Charlie and Olivia, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And in fact, since you did not know him or of him when you went back to the Old West, I'm going to assume that you never heard of him. He was still around by then, but he's like very old, like Indiana Jones 4 old.
And his brother, who never existed.
No, he just died young. or moved to Tupelo, one or the other.
Just disappeared.
Well, the episode in question is Season 3, Chapter 8. I have in the notes that we meet this man who was surrounded by werewolves, but I did not put his name down.
Well, nice. Since Alan doesn't remember him either, his identity doesn't matter too much. So let's focus on what we've got.
Yep.
But yeah, that guy, whoever it was, and right now I'm going to assume that if it's the same guy, his name was Roy Noble. Yeah. And he was just the gambler who hung around at the inn/bordello in El Diablo playing cards with people. And the name he used was Roy Noble, which may or may not be real, since Roy means king and noble also means nobility. So he's just King Noble. But he was a member in 1880 of the Cult of Mammon, which was, you don't know if it's still is or not, it was a mage related sect, and your impression in contemporary Knoxville is that mages are very rare and extremely reclusive. They may not be that rare, they may just be better hidden than the other supernaturals, but they're all about, you know, wealth for wealth's sake.
Gotcha.
So for now, I say we track down these were-hyenas, were-spiders, kill them, and then find our way home by tracking down this book dude. Dun dun, great.
That sounds like a plan. All right.
So I guess someone should be prepared to take over this game in 2 weeks.
Sounds yeah.
I'll like it. Like we'll do that in 2 weeks.
Actually, so all the people who went to El Diablo and met with Roy Noble and heard his offer, you may roll your intelligence plus composure.
Oh, okay.
One success for me.
Crit fail for me.
Two ones.
Two ones. Nothing above a five.
You don't know shit.
I don't know jack shit. I wanted to play cards that day. That's all I know.
Dang it, I closed my ears. What's the roll?
Intelligence plus composure.
Okay.
Dang. Come on, Charlie. This is you all over. Maybe not really so much composure, but
I have a lot of composure, actually. Four successes.
Oh, you just choose not to show it.
Yeah.
You just don't use it, like, at all.
Yeah.
You're the least composed member of the group.
Charlie's version of composure is just keeping his mouth shut.
Exactly.
That's not happened yet.
God, we wish.
He's been doing good tonight, I have to say.
See? He's been biting his lip.
I think you're just distracted because there's a baby in the room or something.
No, she's asleep. All right, I got four successes.
Okay, whoever got the most, which is probably Charlie, you recall that there's a guy who went by the name of Roy Noble, who was a card sharp at the saloon in El Diablo, and he claimed to have knowledge of how to activate the mirrors and get you home, but his price for giving you that knowledge was for you to give him advanced knowledge of the future that he could use to make a lot of money. And you refused to do so because of an arbitrary moral code against changing history.
Doesn't sound like us.
And you found your way back home without him. No, you didn't find your way back home. You found out how to use him. Use the mirror. But you're still not home. Although you're closer to home. You're at least in the right decade.
There you go.
Hell, you're in the right year.
That's true. All right. We were just,
if only we listened to that old woman in the vision, if we'd stopped when we were supposed to.
Yeah. In the looking at it from the temporal axis, you are home because you arrived in the cabin literally the day after you originally left. It's still spring break, and you're from when you went on vacation. It's just you are a few universes over.
Oh God!
At this point, I'm going to start trying every wardrobe I find in some stately home. I'm just going to.
And any police phone booths as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, you met the guy named Roy Noble, who's a gambler, and this is probably completely unrelated, but you were, I think you were, actually, you may not even know this shit. Let me ask you an out-of-character question. Have you been told, newcomers to Knoxville, that there are rumors of an actual mage who lives at the casino in town?
Yes.
Okay. I shared that last week, that there's a mage called the Gambler who owns the local casino, and he's a mage.
And I'm just perfectly willing to go talk to him.
I said, let's roll up on him.
At this point, I am scared.
Charlie, you can make that connection that you, in fact, knew a gambler who was an actual mage back in 1880.
Okay. An actual mage.
Boy, what's his price going to be now?
Yeah. Is he still around?
Well, he might be mad at us for not taking his offer originally and then just disappearing on him.
That's
we can say it wasn't our fault. Well. It happened like a day later. We disappeared. Let's call that one a big old oopsie-daisy.
Actually, maybe in some way we did give him information since this world has changed dramatically from ours.
True.
Well, maybe you're in the right place, but you guys changed some things.
Okay, I need to make a flowchart real quick. I'm gonna get some string, and some coat hangers and some dead things.
I'll grab the crayons.
Yeah, thank you.
So this is definitely above Oliver's intelligence level, which, of course, you know, anything is above his intelligence level.
I hope you're playing a really smart animal this time. All right, so we're back to where we were. Let's talk about how to go get these things.
Yeah.
The sooner I can walk around in public, the better.
I think Ben and I can do a little locating spell together.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've got a good workup in my grimoire.
Yeah. We can do that and see if it gives us a better location of where they're at and track them down and go from there.
Yeah, I've got all my implements at home, so we can go do that now. And then we'll let Josh know.
Well, do we have approval from the committee before we start doing all this? Or
yes, yeah, I mean, Josh will absolutely give you permission to A, change Frank's appearance so he doesn't look like, you know, an escapee from prison. Who's well known in the city of Knoxville, and B, yes, you will not breach the masquerade. You will keep this as quiet as possible. In fact, more quiet than is possible for you guys usually.
That's not very quiet.
Now let's talk expense account.
Oh no.
Well, and in character, I'll say there's an issue that none of us actually have any resources we can use in here, so somebody can float us a gas card. Uncle
Frank,
I already
offered to pay for things for you.
Oh, well, I could also use a burner phone. That's very generous.
I mean, technically.
Ben stares you down very hard and says, you're not spending all of Charlie's money.
Not all of it.
I mean, yeah, I'm not going to spend all of it.
But you guys... Jake, talk to Caitlin, and she'll get you guys like burner phones and fake IDs and some spending cash. And yeah, a rental. Caitlin, you know, is she is the youngest child of Josh Rookwood, and in fact is still pure-blooded. She has not even joined a clan yet, but she is his money person.
Gotcha.
Well, I will thank the council for the assistance and we will do our best to keep this quiet. And yeah.
Brother Ray says, we'll be praying for y'all.
Well, we.
I hope it works in this universe.
I will use all the prayers we can get.
May the blessings of Jesus Christ and Cain be with you.
I'm sorry, what?
And Cain!
Cain,
the
first vampire.
Don't get him started.
Have you not heard the good news?
Oh, no. I just misheard. I thought you said Cain, and I thought that just couldn't be right. No, of course I've heard of Cain, of course. Anyway, so we should go ahead and go do that tracking spell. I'm feeling ready to do some magic. Thank you so much, Council.
Yeah, and you can tell that all the other council members kind of roll their eyes at Brother Ray. Not obviously, because he's a fairly powerful vampire. But that's a good point. I should clarify this just so you know what's what. Frank, what is your blood potency right now? Blood purity, rather?
I think it's 1. Let's see if that's true. Yes, 1.
Brother Ray is...
probably more powerful than I am.
All the vampires on the council are more powerful than you. You can tell that Josh is the most powerful.
Damn, Josh. Okay.
Hey, I'm at least as old as he is.
I mean, technically, you might be older now that we've gone back in time and forward.
Yeah, he was a werewolf from 1880 to around 1910 or so, and then he was embraced as a vampire.
Of Abomination. Clan.
Now, you embrace a werewolf, he just turns into he automatically becomes a Fenris vampire instead of being a pureblood. But other than that, somebody sent me a thing.
I sent you a load of furniture. Did you get it?
Oh.
I sent you a mattress for your guest bedroom. It should have arrived today, but I.
Liar.
I sent you thoughts and prayers.
Well, that's what really matters. I sent you a few indictments.
Among the werewolves, what are your primal urges?
2.
Mine is only 1. I thought it was 2. There's only 1 there.
Well, and Charlie, you know that your son is more powerful than you are.
Sure.
That's gonna sting.
Spending more experience to get to primal urge 3.
And in fact, both your sons are more powerful than you because Oliver, you can sense that Jake is more powerful than you. or as primal urges higher than you, yours.
Well, reason why that is because he had a dad who was there to support him. So,
ouch.
Very likely. No, that's literally true. You know, have you been told Jake's life story and his relationship with his version of Trolley?
Oh yeah, fully raised and loved.
I told
him
how my dad took me hunting and taught me how to be a werewolf, and even became a blood servant of Josh here just so that I was taken care of.
Father of the year, in my opinion.
Well, I got mom.
And then, yeah. That's low blow. God damn. Ooh. All right. What is a mom? What's a dad?
Yeah.
He's right there. That's a dad. He's right there.
Can you count that? Look, love you, Dad. Can you count that?
The daddy issues have extended so far that Olivia has fallen after men for the wrong reasons.
What? Oh, okay. You've fallen after a girl who's died multiple times in different universes. Oh. So,
well, please let's not be doing this in character.
That was absolutely.
Since this conversation was triggered by everyone's silence recognition of who's the more powerful werewolf, we'll say no, that was out of character.
Damn.
Yeah, the only werewolf on the council is Vince, and he's as powerful as you, Jake.
The bitch is also on the council, isn't she?
Oh yeah, no, I'm sorry, I misspoke. Yeah,
she's way more powerful than you.
What are you at right now? And Carmel in Carmel Arch?
Four.
Dang.
Oh, God, yes.
Four. Jesus Christ.
Because he bought that in lieu of other things.
Oh, well, I guess no one has quite the laundry list of gifts that I have.
I'd just like to point out I have blood purity of one, so I can walk around in the daylight for you people.
Yeah.
I could have been more.
I have 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 things for my my gifts.
You have 11 gifts?
Yeah.
Nice. Like pictures?
Yeah.
Like those funny little internet pictures I see all the time?
Mm-hmm. They're gifts of mom.
Oh. Oh, good Lord.
I don't need to let him know that I can actually talk. Well, I haven't talked to mom lately, so.
You can talk to mom? I want to talk to mom. I can talk to trees. Where's the fun in that? I want to talk to mom.
We're not doing this in character.
All right, so let's.
Ready.
So you guys have some kind of weird magic shit to do, and I've got an appointment with the surgeon, and we have to get some gear. So let's do all that so we can get going.
Okay.
Adios.
Thanking you for listening to another episode of Southern Gothic Gaming. Welcome back to the adventures of the Connor fam. The first arc of the aberrant storyline has drawn to a close, and we return to a world of werewolves, vampires, and vast horrors beyond comprehension. If you want to follow along live, you can do so by becoming a member of our Patreon. On Patreon, you will get early access, character breakdowns, and more. You can even join in our Discord group to interact with us and potentially join in one-off specials. Please rate or review wherever you listen to podcasts, and, as always, episodes are released every Friday night. Your players for this session have been Alan as the storyteller, Anthony as Oliver, Beau as Ben, Brooke as Olivia, Bruce as Jake, Luke as Frank, and Stick as Charlie. The intro and outro is Wayfaring Stranger by Brian Mitchell. Thank you again, and we hope you listen in for our next session.